All right, listen up. This is Hoxton on Audio Boom. Get your ears working, people.
This week on Double Tap, is the gaming industry in crisis?
You usually have the backing of a big studio, but this industry is changing so much that even if you have that, you're not always secure.
IO Interactive have been in a little bit of trouble last year. They laid some people off. I'm assuming, and this is only my assumption, that the development team haven't hit their target.
Hello and welcome to Double Tap. This week we look at the hugely anticipated but possibly overrated Hitman release. But first, in a change from our usual format, we bring our feature interview to the front after the sad news of Lionhead Studios' closure last week. We speak exclusively to a gaming developer who was, until last week, working on Fable Legends at Lionhead Studios.
Albion. A land bursting with life, beauty and light.
But some grief is so great, even death may keep its distance. And so the boy survived.
Now they face their greatest threat, and they need their greatest hero.
After much consideration, we have decided to cease development on Fable Legends. We are in discussions with employees about the proposed closure of Lionhead Studios in the UK.
With time, the boy's pain turned to strength. His grief became will. A will to change the world. And to avenge the death that still haunted his every dream.
The Lionhead Studios team has delighted millions of fans with the Fable series over the last decade.
I have returned. After an eternity away from you all, Jack of Blades is back.
These changes are taking effect as Microsoft Studios continues to focus its investment and development on the game and franchises that fans find the most exciting and want to play.
Tough week, but we're all deeply touched by overwhelming show of love and support from gamers and fellow devs. Heartfelt thanks to the gamer family.
That was the tweet that went out just before last week's show from gaming company Lionhead. You also heard the statement from Microsoft in that montage about the closure of Fable Legends. We covered it in our gaming news last week in episode 17, but weren't able to release this interview until after the announcement.
Yesterday, my studio announced that our project is closing.
This is Nuno, gaming developer at Lionhead Studios.
So I was going to say that you usually have the backing of a big studio. And that always comes with, you know, you think you have the security, but this industry is changing so much that even if you have that, you're not always secure.
He's been working on the now dead-in-the-ground project Fable Legends. I spoke to him about what it's like to be a gaming developer, the climate of his industry, and how much it has changed in his time.
Well, it has changed a lot, especially with mobile games and with... of course, the industry isn't so... old as of yet. It only has like 30 or 40 years or something, and of course it keeps changing, but the technology moves so fast that the industry moves as fast with it. So,
and is it kind of difficult to sort of keep up with all of the changes, because as you said, it moves so fast?
Yeah, of course it's really challenging, especially if you are technically inclined, because of course if you are a producer or an executive or a finance person, you know, finance doesn't change that much. But if you are, for example, a programmer like I am, it changes every year. Console changes, so you need to learn everything again, like every 5 to 7 years. So you need to keep up every week, every month, something new comes up.
And do you think it might be harder for somebody who is just like an indie developer to keep up with these changes? Because obviously they don't have the backing of a larger producer behind them.
Well, I think it goes both ways, actually, because as an indie developer, you can actually have the flexibility to change even more than if you have the backing of a larger corporation. So, you know, of course, it's difficult because you cannot, maybe you don't have access to all the latest and greatest technologies, or you don't have the money to go to this third-party library that you really want to use, or, you know, it might be a bit more difficult to get to develop everything you want because you also don't have the time or the resources to do it, but you also have the time and to actually be, and you are able to make better decisions because you are alone, or you can shift better.
But what are kind of the benefits, would you say, of being in a larger studio?
Security that comes with it, so you don't have to. Although that's not always true, because yesterday my studio announced that our project is closing, actually. So I was going to say that you usually have the backing of a big studio, and that always comes with, you know, you think you have the security, but this industry is changing so much that even if you have that, you're not always secure. So... But that's one of the big benefits. The other benefit is, of course, if you want to pursue, a big project like Fable Legends is or was, if you want to pursue, a big project like this, only a big studio can do it. Only a big studio can make a AAA game that lasts for 3 or 4 years or how long it takes to make this development, because you're not receiving any money while you're doing it. Nobody. If you don't have the money to back it up, you can't do it. You cannot make a game of this size for this long without getting any money. So that's the benefit of being a big studio.
Yeah. Do you think that people can maybe be a little bit harsh with their, you know, because sometimes they're like, oh, well, you released it and I was expecting this, this and this, and it's got a lot less. And, you know, you're releasing DLC that should have been in the original game. But it's like, well, this game itself took, you know, years to make anyway. But people just kind of brush it aside and like, well, I want more.
Yeah, of course. I think most people that are not making the game, if they are just playing, they don't really understand what it takes to make a game. All the financial decisions or the technical decisions, it takes years to make a game. And it takes effort from art, from programmers, from, you know, publishers, producers, everything together. It's an effort of hundreds of people over years, and it's really hard. So when you see a game that you think should be priced lower than what it is, because, you know, with mobile games you think that a game should cost like $1. That's madness, you know. And when people see a game priced that, I don't know, $5, they're like, what? A game that costs more than my coffee? Are you crazy? It's like, no, it really is that hard, and developers should receive what, you know, the amount for the amount of effort that they put, you know. Of course, this is not always true, because you can put a lot of effort into something that is not worth playing, that is not fun, and that is true, you know. In the end, it's the gamers that decide, the players that decide which is fun and what is fun and what should actually, you know, get the money that it deserves.
And what tips would you have for somebody who does want to go into games development?
You know, you have so many ways into getting into games development. You can be an artist, you can be an animator, you can be a programmer, you can be a games designer, so you can write story, you can make sound. So, you know, there's lots of things that you can do to be a game developer.
How about somebody that wants to do what you do and be a programmer?
Then my advice would be to just write games, to start coding, you know, just get your free copy of Visual Studio and start learning online, start coding Tetris, start coding, you know, Space Invaders, you know, these small games. Just do something and show that you can do it, and then move on to different and bigger things, and then maybe specialize in graphics, make a graphics demo, make a ray tracer, or specialize in artificial intelligence, you know? Just do stuff and show that you can do it, build your own portfolio, make an online portfolio, show that you can do things, show that you're not only talking, show that you can code, and make sure that you have a demo to show for it.
At the end of the interview, I asked Nuno to reflect on being a developer, and he had this message to fans. Not just to Fable Legends and Lionhead, but video games in general.
Well, due to recent events, you know, just because, you know, even the studio closed and everything, there's other stuff also that we could talk about, like, but those are a bit more difficult to talk about, like the you know, the harassment that some people have against women. I think that's really bad. That shouldn't happen at all. Like, even to developers. But it's one of the things that I think about, and I don't think it has a place in this industry, but I have no clue how it could be solved, you know, because it doesn't happen, I think. Like cinema, for example, you know, people get death threats and rape threats, and they're booed off conferences, and, you know, they cannot even go to conferences because they get threats. It's like, it's disheartening, you know, being a developer and seeing other developers being affected by this.
Microsoft said in their statement, "We are committed to working closely with those affected by today's news to find them new opportunities at Xbox or partnering with the broader development community to help place them in jobs elsewhere in the games industry should they desire." Nuno now hopes to start a new company with one of his colleagues, but in the meantime is looking at games development opportunities at studios in the US, Canada, and Europe. And now it's time for the gaming news.
Jamie here with your gaming news update. Saints Row publisher Deep Silver is gearing up to make a major announcement at E3 this year. In an interview with MTV, CEO Clemens Kundratitz said, "A lot of games are in the pipeline and they're very much looking forward to E3. The Metro, Saints Row's franchises haven't had installments since 2013. And yes, we're still waiting on the delayed Dead Island 2. Connecting PlayStation and Xbox networks could be easy, according to the president of Sony Entertainment Worldwide Studios. Chuhi Yoshida addressed Microsoft's invitation to connect the networks for cross-platform multiplayer, and noted that Sony has actually done this before. Bloodborne will also be getting its new own card game. Board and card game designer Eric Lang revealed news on Twitter, telling fans that it's going to be based on the Chalice Dungeon runs in the main game. It's going to be a risk management and tactical gameplay, all in an intense 30 minutes. And now here's Karen with the esports.
Energy Esports has announced the team is currently looking for a substitute player for the Counterpit League Season 2 finals after Peter Gurney announced he would not be able to participate. Gurney's absence is due to a foot injury he sustained during a turbulent flight to Croatia. They've also announced former NBA star Shaquille O'Neal, three-time MLB American League MVP Alex Rodriguez, and MLB shortstop Jimmy Rollins have all invested in NRG Esports. And a 15-year-old Hearthstone player has qualified for BlizzCon. William Amnesiac Barton won $25,000 after winning the final phase of Blizzard's North American Winter Championship. He signed with professional gaming organisation Team Arkun at the age of 14.
Hitman is a huge gaming series that's long been iconic. Now the story's being reset, and Agent 47 starts his journey again in IO Interactive's refresh of the legendary brand. But has it been overhyped? And fresh after Lionhead's closure, we ask if the game series has been hit by money and development problems. I spoke to Noobgrind's Rich Yanukovych about his impressions of the first episode of the new Hitman series.
He still remembers nothing?
If he does, he's not sharing.
His stats are off the charts. Such skills and reflexes. They can only be the result of previous training. Power like that, with no moral restraint. All agents have weak spots, Miss Burnwood. Pressure points to keep them in check. But this one... Are you sure about this?
My decision stands.
Very well. I'll be watching.
Yeah, my initial impression was just a little bit underwhelmed. I think graphically it's okay. You know, there's nothing earth-shattering about it. What's really getting on my nerves so far is the huge loading times that we're having to wait for. I've timed myself a few times jumping into the Paris mission, and on average it's 1.5 minutes, sometimes more, just to load the stage. Now, it's a big area that you get to run around in, and I'm assuming that PC players who are playing Hitman with a solid-state drive are not going to suffer from these long loading times, but I'm playing on PS4, and they're just horrific.
Because I know that they said that they were trying to kind of combine together all of the strongest elements of each Hitman game or each previous one to kind of make like the ultimate Hitman game. So I don't know, in terms of like the actual missions and the gameplay and stuff, whether you would agree with that so far.
Strong return to form for the Blood Money style version of Hitman. Large open levels, multiple ways for taking out targets, rather than the really kind of linear, kind of static path of Absolution. And I like the sandbox version. I like being able to wander around and find things out and make interesting new ways to get rid of your targets. I think they've tried very hard. I just don't think they've hit all the high notes of the best of the Hitman franchise.
You were always the best. Nobody ever came close. You define the art, and it defines you. Your actions have changed the world.
Do you think maybe they could improve, like, you know, as the episodes go on?
Yeah, this is what I'm hoping for as a Hitman fan. I'm really hoping that it will all eventually tie together. The hints at the story that underlines this game, I don't think they've come across strong enough. It's a frustrating game. It's a frustrating first outing, because this is essentially a reboot of the Hitman franchise from IO Interactive, and it hasn't grabbed me and gone, yes, this is a brilliant start to a new era of Hitman.
So why do you think that they kind of bothered to make it episodic then? Because surely you think like the first episode's got to be the one that like grabs people, so they want to play more.
Exactly. Well, I think IO Interactive have been in a little bit of trouble last year. They laid some people off when they did the Hitman reveal at Sony's E3 conference. There was a lot of excitement about it. It was going to be released in December. You know, another return to form AAA title, bringing out another great Hitman game. Lots of promises were made. And I'm assuming, and this is only my assumption, that the development team haven't hit their targets, and they've decided that they're going to break it down into this episodic format. And there's been a lot of backlash online about this. Gamers don't want to play AAA title episodic games. It's different for things like Telltale Games and their Walking Dead series, and who come from an indie background. It's fine for indie developers to go, no, we're going to release it in episodic format. There's a lot more love for that kind of thing, but when a big franchise returns, huge backlash on the internet.
And it almost seems like it's either a way of prolonging their time to create the actual game, which I would just think would just set the date back and you know, release it as a full game, you know?
Yeah, sure. This is the thing with Hitman. We're getting all these digital download episodes, supposedly month on month from now onwards, until they're all released, and then next year, 2017, they're going to release a disc version. So yeah. In my head, I'm kind of like, well, maybe you should have just sat on it for another 12 months, make it the best game you can possibly create, and then, you know, it would have been huge.
Powerful men have fallen by your hand, but by the same token, others have risen. Do you realize what kind of world you've been shaping? Does the ICA? Does your handler? I live in that world. I have seen the consequences. I have felt the cost. That's what defines me.
That's all for this week. You can listen to Rich's podcast over on the Noob Grind channel here on Audioboom. Tune in next week as we speak to Republic's PS4 project lead ahead of their Episode 5 and PS4 launch. See you next week.
Double Tap is an Audioboom production written and presented by Alice Taplin.